unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio, channel 182. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Once again, 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Hope y'all had a wonderful weekend. I know I did. I'm hyped because there's a lot of stuff going on today. I'm not in a very good mood. Let me be very, very clear about that. I watched my New York Knicks lose to the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm watching Jason Tatum add a spark plug to the Boston Celtics. The Detroit Pistons, despite losing four straight, they still ain't going anywhere because we know they romped the Knicks the three times they met them, okay? And my New York Knicks is just not looking as promising as I thought it would look. I'll get into all of that later. I looked at Wembanyama for the San Antonio Spurs. My God, this brother's something special. He just is. I'll get into all of that a little bit later, but we got to start off with some NFL news because there's NFL news all over the place. From this weekend to today, sparking the first time for the first day for free agency and some of the moves that are going on, we got to talk about a lot of different things. First order of business, however, is I'm going to talk about what happened this weekend, and that's with the Baltimore Ravens acquiring Max Crosby. Now, listen, when you look at the Baltimore Ravens situation, let's make sure we recognize what we're talking about here. With the Baltimore Ravens, you got Lamar Jackson, you got King Henry, Derrick Henry. You clearly are in a situation where you're looking at things for what they are, and you've had Lamar Jackson for 7 years. There's not even a Super Bowl appearance to show for his greatness, let alone a Super Bowl championship. So when you saw your defense stick up the joint the way that it did this year, you're the Baltimore Ravens, and you got to send a message. You got to send a message. You got to let everybody know you're coming. To put things in its proper perspective, their defense was so bad, not only was their defense a figurative no-show, the great Ray Lewis was a literal no-show because he was spending most of his time in Miami watching the Hurricanes, a winning football team, albeit on a collegiate level, rather than watching his Baltimore Ravens, who was sticking up the joint. That's how bad they were. And now you've got a situation where you go out and you get Max Crosby and you give up two first-round picks. Let's understand what you've done along the way. You beat out the Dallas Cowboys. They offered a first-round pick and a second-round pick. And there's a lot of people that's out there that's going to go like, yo, I'm the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they should have gave up two first-round picks. I disagree with that. I think the Dallas Cowboys made the right decision. I think the Dallas Cowboys made the right decision and not giving up two first-round picks for Max Crosby. He's 28 years of age. He's coming off a knee injury. And then you combine that with the fact that you've got a multitude of pieces that you need to fill in, to fix. You can't give up two first-round picks for Max Crosby. You just can't do it. He's worth it in terms of the caliber of player that he is for a Super Bowl championship contender, but that is not what the Dallas Cowboys are perceived as being. And so because of that, I think Jerry Jones was absolutely right in holding on rather than giving up two first-round picks. A first and a second is more than fair. But the Baltimore Ravens came in and they gave up two first-round picks. So now if you're giving up two first-round picks to the Las Vegas Raiders, the Raiders not only have the number one pick, but now they'll have the number 14 overall pick in next month's NFL draft. So they're going to get a good player in that pick. Plus, they're going to draft Fernando Mendoza. And that's going to go a long way towards improving their prospects for the future. So let's get that out of the way first. When we look at Crosby, here's what we got to look at with Max Crosby. He's 28 and going to a Ravens team that was tied for 28th in the National Football League in sacks last season with 30. There's 32 teams in the NFL. They rank 28th. The Baltimore Ravens, as a defense, getting to the quarterback, they rank 28th. That is not good. 29th in the league in quarterback pressure rate last season. 29th in the league. No pass rush to speak of throughout the year, which is why they probably finished 8-9. Going is John Harbaugh. He's fired as your head coach. In is new head coach Jesse Minter, who won a national title as Michigan defensive coordinator in 2023 before two successful seasons with the Los Angeles Chargers as their defensive coordinator. We see all of that. We get all of that. Clearly, you got to have a defense. With Crosby, back to him, ladies and gentlemen, it's a five-time Pro Bowler over the last 5 years. Led the National Football League's in tackles for a loss in both 2022 and 2023. 10 sacks and a career-high 28 tackles for a loss in 15 games just this past season. Okay? He's joining a defense that includes Kyle Hamilton, Nate Wiggins, Roquan Smith, Nnamdi Marabike. You got all of that going on. And oh, by the way, just as a reminder as to who the hell Max Crosby is, 360 career pressures since debuting in the NFL in 2019. That's 20 more. That's 29 more than the next player on that list. You know who that next player is? It would happen to be Myles Garrett, the reigning defensive player of the year and the sack leader. But when your defense is ranked 24th, as Baltimore was ranked last year, fourth worst in ranking in franchise history, by the way, when your pass defense was ranked 30th, when your sacks are tied for 28th, you desperate times call for desperate measures. So I got no problem with the Baltimore Ravens giving up two picks to go and get Max Crosby. And I have no problem with the Dallas Cowboys declining to give up two picks for Max Crosby because they got a lot more problems. Now, what do? They go out and they get Rashawn Gary for Green Bay. I respect the hell out of Rashawn Gary. The brother can play. I get all of that. But here's the problem with Rashawn Gary. You had 7.5 sacks last year. The 7.5 sacks came in the first 9 games. From the moment Micah Parsons went down, you ain't have a sack again. Now, you have more pressures than an entire Dallas Cowboys team, and I get that part. But I got to tell you something. To not have a sack from the time that Micah Parsons goes down, that's not something to write home about. So I understand that he's an upgrade and he's somebody expected to help the Dallas Cowboys. I get all of that part. But I can't help but remember the fact that a guy by the name of DeMarcus Lawrence was a stud, was producing, was getting the job done for the Dallas Cowboys, and they couldn't win a damn thing. But the second he departed from Dallas, he's a Super Bowl champion as a Seattle Seahawk. He's a Super Bowl champion. There's a black cat running around that franchise, as I've always stated. And ain't nothing new today. So when you look at the Dallas Cowboys again, you don't blame them for refraining from making the moves necessary in order for them to be a bit better off. But in the same breath, you know something? In the end, bottom line is, Dallas Cowboys got too many holes to fill to be giving up picks to people. So you got Rashawn Gary for like a fourth-round pick. Bravo to you. Want to transition to Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. No more, by the way. Because Tua was let go. He was released by the Miami Dolphins. Ladies and gentlemen, Tua can play. Tua can throw the football. Not the way that he used to. We all know that when he got concussed against Cincinnati, and laid on a turf, and his body looked like rigor mortis had kicked in. It was a very, very scary sight. And that's not something that's good, and we understand it. But Tua can throw the football in a clean pocket. The problem is, when you put pressure on him, he's going to tap dance. When you hit him, it might concuss him. I never forget years ago, when I knew Michael Vick's career was soon coming to an end. He grabbed his head when he got hit. He was hit in the stomach. And his head did not hit the turf. But just because his head snapped back when he got hit, that was concussion. That caused a concussion. I knew it was over at that time. And that's exactly how I find myself feeling about Tua Tagovailoa right now. When you look at Tua Tagovailoa, to me, in the National Football League, here is what you need to know. To me, this is all you need to know about Tua Tagovailoa to put stuff in its proper perspective. Do y'all know that the brother's record is 9-21 with 37 touchdowns and 28 interceptions in weather below 70 degrees? I didn't say 30 or 20. I said 70, as in 70. Tua Tagovailoa's record in temperatures 70 degrees or lower is 9-21 with 37 touchdowns and 28 interceptions. Brother can't perform in inclement weather. In temperatures 70 and above, playing in Miami, 31-10 with 73 touchdowns, 26 interceptions. That's a 3-1 touchdown to turnover ratio. Essentially, that's Tua Tagovailoa in hot weather. And let me tell you something. I kind of got a little bit of expertise about South Florida. It does. I mean, there's a marination. There's a marinating process that takes place. I mean, the warm weather turns hot, and it's just so beautiful. It's just tropical. You know, that's what it is. That's the word. It's the tropical environment, because pretty much it's like that. Bahamas ain't far. Not from Miami. And it is tropical. They got iguanas out there. They got, you know, I mean, peacocks out there. They got all this stuff out there. I mean, the weather truly, truly is special. And because it's that special, you do find yourself looking at situations and going like, damn, this is pretty damn good. It really, really is. And you can get accustomed, you can get very, very comfortable. And then when things go awry, you know, one of the biggest problems that I have with Miami is that Miami, like L.A., like when you in places like that, you sort of got the attitude, you know, the sun's going to shine tomorrow. I'll be all right. As opposed to it being a level of urgency that you need and that you require. So these are the kind of things that I want to think about as we move forward. By the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers got a wide receiver in Michael Pittman. You know, he signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You still don't have a quarterback, so that don't mean a damn thing to me. Tua is rumored to be being looked at by the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know about that. Okay? So the coach trade wide receiver Michael Pittman to the Steelers. Tua might end up being an Atlanta Falcon. So what? So what? Minkah Fitzpatrick just got moved from the Miami Dolphins to the New York Jets. My condolences to him for having to be a New York Jet. Ain't nothing going to come. It's bad enough you had to go from Miami to New York. But you had to go from a subpar team to a horrific team. I mean, damn, it's just bad. So I'm not feeling good for Minkah Fitzpatrick either. So that comes to mind. There's rumors and reports that Travis Kelce is going to come back on and stay with the Kansas City Chiefs and come back for a 14th season. Spent all 13 years in Kansas City. He's a 3-time Super Bowl champion. One of the greatest tight ends to have ever played football. Obviously, he don't want to go out the way they went out. They got blitzed and beat down in the Super Bowl against Philadelphia the year before last. And this past season, obviously, they didn't even make the playoffs. He ain't trying to go out like that. Mad respect to him. Mad respect to him. But when I'm looking at all of these moves that are being made, I do find myself wondering, where's it going to go from here? Does this move by the Baltimore Ravens with Max Crosby, does that elevate them to favorite status? To favorite status. I don't know if that's the case. And I would tell you that because that's not, I don't know if that's the case, because I'm looking at the Denver Broncos, 68 sacks last year, 4 shy of the all-time record, set by the Chicago Bears in 1984. Got a big-time defense. Probably would have been in the Super Bowl if Bo Nix didn't go down in the divisional playoff game against Buffalo. I mean, you probably would have went to the Super Bowl. You would have beat the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game, even though a blizzard came down. You would have beat them. Who knows? But that wasn't meant to be, and we ended up getting a subpar Super Bowl because of that. But all of these moves that we're watching, all of these moves that we're seeing, we just find ourselves looking at it for what it's worth and wondering where the hell you go from here. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Does Max Crosby elevate the Baltimore Ravens to the top of the heap? Is Denver still a favorite in the AFC? Should it be New England? What about Buffalo, who got DJ Moore a few days ago? What about that? How's that going to work for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills? All of these things are legitimate questions to ask. All of these situations, you're looking for an answer. You can get it right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Can't wait to hear what y'all have to say.